Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Change on the Fly by Maren Moore. Narrated by Alex Kidd and Emma Wilder. Chapter 1. Reed. There are a lot of perks to being a professional hockey player. Hell, an athlete in general. Besides the money, the fame, the endorsements, the free shit that sports companies throw at you. And one of those perks is currently perched on my lap, trailing her hot pink manicured finger up my chest. Her name is Elizabeth, and honestly, I'm surprised I even remember her name, because our entire interaction at Liam and Juliet's wedding lasted about 15 minutes in a cramped bathroom stall, and there was definitely no talking done. Or any talking during any of the times after that. You see, I'm the kind of guy that enjoys the finer things in life, without all the complications that people seem to add. Why make anything hard when it's already sweet? I'm 28 and living my dream, playing hockey for one of the best teams in the country. I've got the most beautiful women at my fingertips, fans who adore me, and then I have my ma and my sister Emery. Nothing to hold me back, and no one to answer to. And that's exactly how I want it. Seriously, life is good. Has anyone told you tonight that you are the most beautiful girl in the entire room? I say to the busty blonde in my lap. Her plump, bright red lips stretch into a wide, confident grin. It's not a lie, she is gorgeous. It's just part of the game. You say what they want to hear, and everyone's happy.
That's because I'm the only girl in the room, Reed Davidson.
She giggles before tossing her long, sleek hair over her tan shoulder that peeks out from her sleeveless dress. I grin cheekily, revealing the dimple that always seals the deal. Just as I'm leaning in, Briggs, my best friend, walks up and flops down on the couch next to us. I shoot him a look that says, "Get the fuck out of here, cock blocker." But Briggs, being Briggs, doesn't pick up on the signal. "Tonight sucks," he mutters. He's nursing a still full beer and moping around the bar like he's lost his puppy dog. Sighing heavily, I nudge Blondie from my lap, and thankfully she takes a hint and scampers off back toward her group of friends, leaving me alone with Briggs. "All right, what's up? What are you crying in your beer about?" His jaw clenches at my jab, but he just shakes his head, staring off into the distance. Best forward in the NHL or not, the guy is dramatic and broody as shit. I've just learned to live with it and fuck with him any chance I get. "Briggs. Just some shit." Another blasé answer, a Briggs specialty. I pull my phone from my pocket and swipe away the unopened text from Puck Bunnies, who text me weekly for a hookup, and instead, I go straight to my other best friend Liam's text and open it. He sent a photo of him, Juliet, and the girls on the beach. The girls are posing next to a sandcastle as big as they are, and it brings a genuine smile to my face. Liam and I have been best friends for as long as I can remember. We played hockey together until he became the coach for the Avalanche last year. Now that he's married to Juliet, he's coaching high school hockey, and I miss seeing him and the girls as much as I used to. They've been in the Bahamas for over a week, while I'm stuck here babysitting Briggs. I can't wait for the girls to get home to tell me all about their vacation. I love those two sassy girls. Being their Uncle Reed is one of the best things in my life. But me as a dad, the last thing I could ever see myself as is a father or a husband, or anything even close. As much as I love Ari and Ken, I love bringing them back to Liam at the end of the night, so I can go out with the boys, catch a game, enjoy the single, unattached life. I'm a perpetual bachelor, and that's exactly how I plan to stay. Which is why Broody Briggs, myself, Asher, Hudson, and Graham are at a bar on a Tuesday night. Because, why not? We're all single, hot, professional hockey players with no one to go home to. So why not spend it out on the town with a few beers? We all play together for the Chicago Avalanche, and it's the best job on the damn planet. When people say, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life, it's true. Sometimes it's hard to believe that I get to wake up and play hockey for a living, but at the same time, I busted my ass to be here. I worked from sunup to sundown to be the player I am today. To celebrate another great practice, we decided to come out tonight for a night of bunnies and booze. Except, as of late, things have been less exciting, since Briggs is walking the straight and narrow or he's off the team. He's been in more fights the past 6 months than I have in my entire hockey career. So to make sure that he stays out of trouble, that he doesn't find himself in front of a Paps camera, or worse, stuck in a jail cell for another night, I'm stuck babysitting until further notice. Hockey player or hockey player nanny? That is the real question. The rest of the night passes uneventfully, thanks to Briggs's sour mood. Asher, Hudson, and Graham each found a puck bunny for the night and dipped out before midnight, leaving me and Briggs alone, so I decide to cut out as well. I'm headed out. You want a ride? I ask Briggs, who's rapid-fire typing on his phone. He doesn't answer me, so I punch him in the shoulder to get his attention.
Fuck! What was that for?
Dude, you're in a bar and have been glued to your phone all night. I'm out. You need a ride. He shakes his head no.
I'll call an Uber later.
Stay out of shit, dude. Seriously, I'm not bailing you out of jail, and please, for God's sake, wrap it up. We don't need miniature versions of you skating around. I grin, teasing him. The dick nods, barely acknowledging me, eyes still glued to his phone. Asshole. I down the rest of my coke and leave it on the table with a few bills I pulled from my wallet, and then make my way out of the bar. Thankfully, we frequent this place often, and the owner lets us use the back door so we can avoid fans and the media. As much as I love having my picture taken, I'm not a fan of the Paps. I open the back door of the building and step outside into the cool night air, inhaling a deep breath before I begin walking across the pavement to find my truck in the sea of vehicles. Just as I'm about to unlock it, my phone rings in my pocket. I fish it out and see it's Holland, my sister Emery's best friend. Weird. Why would she be calling me after midnight? I swipe and answer. You know that they say calls after 10 are booty calls, right?
Reed?
She all but yells into the phone. The music in the background is so damn loud I can hardly hear her.
Holland, what's up? You realize it's after midnight?
I unlock my truck and jump inside, starting the engine.
Well, something happened.
Her words are muffled. The connection sounds like shit, and I can barely hear a word she's saying.
Can you come get us, please? We're at Sorority Row.
I've known Holland since we were kids, and never once has she asked me to pick her or Emery up anywhere, since they generally Uber everywhere. It makes me worry that something has happened. Are you and Emery safe?
Yes. Emery just had a tiny bit too much tonight,
she mutters. I'll be there in 10. Where are you?
Upstairs bathroom.
A second later, I hear the sound of heaving. Great. Emery's drunk as shit. I make a mental note to grab a bucket at the sorority house. I slam my truck into drive and pull out of the parking lot opposite the club. Thank fuck I'm downtown and not at home, because this drive would have taken twice as long. Sorority Row is only 10 minutes from the bar. My tires ramp up the curb when I come to a stop, then park, not bothering to even shut the truck off before I hop out and stalk up the steps of the house. By the looks of it, there's a massive party happening, and it makes my blood boil. I hate my sister going here. I know this is where entitled rich douchebags party, and I want Emery nowhere near them, especially since I can't have eyes on her. I'm a big brother, sue me. I've always protected her, and it's not any different now that she's an adult.
Once I'm inside the house, there's people everywhere dressed in togas and skimpy lingerie. I've spent many nights here, pre-NHL days, and I know exactly what tonight's about. It's rush week, the craziest week of the entire year, where everyone is doing whatever they can to be selected to pledge. There's fighting, hazing, a bunch of shit they shouldn't. Meaning my little sister shouldn't fucking be here. I push through a crowd of people, trying to make my way to the stairwell. A guy wearing a toga steps in front of me as I'm about to climb the stairs, and I run smack into him. Damn it. Holy shit. You're Reed Davidson. Can I have a photo, man? Sorry, dude, I'm meeting someone. I sidestep him and take the stairs two at a time and make my way down the hallway until I find the bathroom. When I swing the last door to the right open, I find my sister sitting on the edge of the bathtub, mascara streaking down her cheeks and a drunken grin.
Oh, it's my brother. Lovely.
She slurs.
What the hell are you doing here?
She drops her head in her hands and groans obnoxiously loud.
He always ruins my buzz.
Well, damn, I'm hurt. Sorry I have to be the semi-responsible one of the two of us. Went a little hard tonight, did you, Em? I tease. My eyes drift to Holland, who's leaning against the vanity, wearing a worried expression. I get it. Em's shit-faced and puking everywhere, but it's nothing some painkillers and water can't cure. Em looks up at me and grins.
Well, someone has to have fun for the both of us. You're kinda a stick in the mud now.
Nah, baby sis. I just don't like getting trashed and then puking in the sorority girl's toilet. She flips me the middle finger with her black manicured nail, but laughs, which quickly turns into a moan.
Shit, my head. There's two of you. Why are there two of you? I can barely handle one.
Holland throws her head back and laughs, and I narrow my eyes at her. Then Emery. You know, for being your knight in shining armor, you two sure are mouthy. Holland rolls her eyes and looks like she's going to say something, but Emery speaks up instead.
My jerk of a frat douchebag boyfriend broke up with me, so we took lots of shots. Lots and lots of shots. I lost count.
Thank fuck. I thought I was going to have to beat the shit out of the guy to get rid of him.
Shut up. He was nice and smart.
I laugh. Yeah, just your type. I'm sure Em gets sick of my teasing, but it's what we do. We talk shit to each other like it's our religion. If Emery wasn't talking shit to me on the daily, I'd think something was wrong. So, you want me to help you up, or do you plan on sleeping there tonight?
I'm becoming one with the floor, she groans.
I reach down and lift her off her feet, and she stands shakily on her heels. I toss my arm over her shoulder to steady her. Please do not puke in my truck, or I'm leaving you on the side of the road.
Ha ha, very funny.
I stop dead and look at her. I'm serious. Even though I'm not. I chuckle and take a damp rag that Holland is holding out for me, then wipe Em's face. Em's got her eyes closed and she's looking a bit green, so I do her the favor of wiping some of the smeared makeup and dried throw-up off before handing it back to Holland. Growing up, I'd been the one Em called when she needed someone. We didn't have a dad, so she had me. I changed her tires in high school and beat the shit out of the guy that called her a slut after she wouldn't sleep with him. I've always done whatever I could to protect her. That's what I'm here for. When we were kids, she'd follow me around and do everything that I did. She had a stick in her hand at 5 years old and could skate circles around most of my friends, even though we were 8 and twice as big as her. My entire life, she's been my shadow. And I guess there could be a worse best friend than your baby sister. We walk out of the sorority house, down the concrete driveway, and when we get to my truck, I pick Emery up and put her in the passenger seat. She moans and groans the entire time, like she's losing a damn limb. Sheesh, you're dramatic.
Runs in the family, I guess.
I scoff. That's about enough out of you tonight. I grab the bucket Holland thought to grab and put it in Em's lap, then shut the door, silencing her protest. When I'm done, I turn to Holland. Her deep blue eyes are filled with amusement at my expense, not Emery's. She loves our banter. Her arms are wrapped around her torso, hugging herself. For Christ's sake, I didn't even realize she had this tiny top on. She's got to be freezing. For some reason, at this moment, it dawns on me that I've never really noticed Holland as anything other than my little sister's best friend until right now. Maybe it's because she's dressed in a crop top that shows more cleavage than I've ever seen her with, or because the skirt she's wearing makes me want to cover her up so no one can see how short it is. Or it could be the way that her legs look paired with those heels. Even though they've got to be 5 inches tall, she's still at least half a foot, if not shorter, than me. Her long, blonde hair falls past her chest to her waist. Fuck, she's gorgeous. That's the last thing I should be thinking about, yet here we are. She's been my little sister's best friend forever. I've watched her grow from a boy band-crazed teenager into this beautiful woman. A woman who is so off-limits it's not even funny. What the hell are you thinking, Davidson? Get your shit together. I clear my throat. You cool with crashing at my place tonight? I'm sure Ma wouldn't appreciate me dropping off the brat at her house tonight in her drunken state. Holland nods.
Yeah, I can get my car tomorrow. Could you possibly help me into the truck?
She looks down at her skirt nervously.
This skirt and these shoes.
Yeah, I can't imagine she'd be able to get in there without flashing me and the world what's underneath it. Not like I'd complain right now. What, I'm a guy? Yeah, of course. I place my hands on her waist, ignoring the feel of her silky skin beneath my touch, and hoist her into the back seat of the truck. Definitely not taking a glimpse at her ass as she did so. Nope. Absolutely not. I wouldn't. Scout's honor. Fuck, I mutter to myself. This is bad. Obviously, I should have picked up a bunny and gone home with her since I'm suddenly lusting after my little sister's best friend. It's probably just an off night, and definitely a fluke. Definitely. Em falls asleep before I even pull away from the curb. She slumped awkwardly against the window, drool pooling in the corner of her mouth. I should snap a picture so I can torture her with it later. I grin at the thought. The entire drive back to my house, I force myself to focus on the road and not drag my eyes to the rearview mirror where Holland's perched in the back seat, directly in my line of vision. I only stole a few glances, and I didn't think she noticed until our eyes connected in the mirror and something different passes through our gaze. Fuck, what is happening? Tearing my gaze from hers, I fumble with the radio and turn it up to distract myself for the remainder of the drive. Once I pull into the driveway and come to a stop, Emery flies forward and her eyes pop open.
What happened? What did I miss?
Holland laughs her ass off at Emery's sudden outburst, and then Em slumping back against the seat and letting out a soft snore. I'm not claiming her, I mutter as I hop out of the truck, then open Holland's door. She places her hand in mine, and I help her out before going to grab Em. It's a whole damn production to get her into the house and up the stairs, but thank fuck Holland takes over once we make it to the guest room. They disappear through the door, and I head to my room to take a lightning-fast shower and throw on a pair of gray sweatpants and a faded black tee before walking back out to the hallway. Holland's leaning against the wall next to the door, scrolling on her phone. She's shed the heels and is standing barefoot now. Hey, do you need something to sleep in? I have a shirt and some boxers I can give you. She jumps, clearly startled.
Holy crap, I didn't even hear you come up. Yes, that would be great.
I nod and go back to my room, grabbing her an old hockey shirt and a pair of boxers. This is the first time since probably high school that I've slept in the same house as Holland, and it definitely feels nothing like it did back then. Walking back out to the hallway, I hand her the clothes, and she smiles shyly before taking them from me. Shower's over there. If you need something, just let me know.
Thanks, Reed. For letting us stay here, but also thanks for coming to get us.
I shrug. It's nothing. I'd rather pick you two up than you take an Uber home when Em can't hardly hold her head up. I appreciate that you thought enough to call me. Night, Holland.
Good night.
I walk back toward my room and hear the guest bathroom door shut behind me and the water turn on. And now, what I am definitely not going to do, think about her naked on the other side of that door. That's what I tell myself for the next 2 hours as I toss and turn from one side to the other, sleep evading me. I put my pillow over my head and groan. Finally, I just give up. Fuck it. When you can't sleep, the remedy is always cereal. Don't tell my coach that, and definitely not the trainer, but sugar cures everything, especially in high doses of Captain Crunch. My secret, though. I toss the blanket aside and crack the door open quietly, careful not to wake Em and Hall, and tiptoe down the hallway into the kitchen. I grab a bowl, the box of cereal from the pantry, and open the fridge to get the milk.
Reed?
A whispered voice comes from behind me, scaring the fuck out of me so badly that I send the milk flying across the island, where it lands with a wet squelch, puddling around the now-busted carton. God damn it. Holland staring at me with wide eyes. Her hair is down and messy, obviously disheveled from sleep. Holy fuck, Holland. You scared the shit out of me, I grunt, my heart still racing in my chest. Damn, Reed. You're turning into a pussy. She starts laughing, quietly at first, placing her hand over her mouth when she sees the milk spilled on the floor.
I'm so sorry, she says through her laugh.
I walk across the room to where both she and the milk are, grabbing the towel from the counter before bending down to clean it up. Then her laugh is gone, replaced by a sharp hiss, and when I look up and see her thick thighs staring back at me, I realize what she's wearing. Nothing but my t-shirt. And fuck, nothing has ever looked so good. The dark shirt hits her mid-thigh, covering all the good stuff, still leaving enough for my imagination to do the rest. I clear my throat and stand abruptly, not wanting to make her uncomfortable, and she steps back. Shit, I'm sorry, Holland, I didn't realize.
No, it's okay. I'm sorry.
We both speak at the same time. Sometimes when I can't sleep, I eat a bowl of... Before I can finish, she says.
Cereal?
I grin. You remember? She nods, then smiles slightly.
You would wake up all the time just to eat Captain Crunch. At some point, Em started calling you Captain behind your back.
She would. I guess the tradition kind of carried over to adulthood. Not nearly as fun, though, as when I was sneaking around to eat it in the middle of the night. My hopes of cereal are gone, since the only milk I had is in a puddle on the floor. But suddenly, I'm not sorry that it happened. So, looks like no Captain Crunch tonight. But I've got Pop-Tarts, I offer. For a professional athlete, I probably shouldn't have this much sugar in my kitchen, but I keep my body in the best condition I can, so it generally doesn't become an issue. I get us both a Pop-Tart from the pantry, then put the box back inside. She's sitting at the bar now, with her chin in her hand. Not a lick of makeup on, and damn, she's beautiful. And for the second time tonight, even though I know I shouldn't, I realize just how much a woman she's become. Somehow, I never noticed it. I never let myself notice it. I probably shouldn't now, but I do. And that's how the rest of the night is spent. Talking about nothing with Holland, eating a Pop-Tart. And for the very first time, I realized that I might be in sincerely deep shit. Chapter 2. Reed. My phone ringing jolts me awake. I don't even try to open my eyes as I reach out and blindly feel for my phone on my nightstand. Once I finally feel it, I crack one eye open and see Briggs's name on the screen and groan. Damn it, Briggs. I slide my thumb across and answer. You better be in jail or dying. My voice is semi-muffled since I'm face down in bed. Why the fuck haven't you answered your phone? I glance at the glowing blue numbers on my alarm clock. 4:36. What the fuck? Well, asshole, it is only 4:30 in the morning, so like a normal person, I was asleep. Why are you even awake right now? Your mom called me. I pull myself up with that statement. What? Why would my mom call you? Damn, I was sleeping so hard I didn't hear the phone till now. I don't know, man. She said it was important and she couldn't reach you. Call her. Now. Shit, shit, shit. My mind immediately goes to Emery. After the past few days she's had, I hope she's okay. Fuck, okay, thanks. I sit up fully now, gathering my bearings for a second. I was sleeping hard as hell after an extra grueling practice. Every muscle in my damn body hurts today, even more than normal. I dial Mom's number and she answers on the first ring.
Reed, thank God,
she breathes. I run my hand through my hair, still trying to wake up. Yeah, Ma, what's up? Everything okay? It's the middle of the night.
I just got a call from your father.
Unease creeps up my spine at the mention of Robert. Neither Emery nor I have seen him since I was 8, and to say he's a sore subject is an understatement, one we don't usually broach. I have no idea why he'd be trying to reach me, especially not at 4 a.m. Why is Robert calling you in the middle of the night? Just saying his name leaves a bitter taste in my mouth.
I'm not sure, honey, he wouldn't say. He said that it's extremely urgent that he speaks with you, and to please try and have you call as soon as possible.
This makes no sense. He's never tried to reach out before. What could he possibly have to say to me right now, or period, Ma? I hear the hesitation in her voice.
Sweetheart, I know. I know you harbor a lot of ill feelings for him, but I can tell something is wrong. I was married to him for a long time, and I could hear it in his voice. I'm not saying you have to call him. That decision is completely up to you. But I do think that it's important, or he wouldn't be reaching out to me in order to get in touch with you.
I drag my hand down my face. The lull of sleep is finally gone, and now my heart is pounding inside my chest like a sledgehammer. I haven't spoken to Robert in years, since I was a child. Yet the sting of his abandonment and betrayal still feels fresh. The thought of speaking to him causes dread to form heavy in my stomach. Why now? What happened to prompt this call? Unease creeps up my throat until it feels like it's too much to swallow back down. I don't know if I can talk to him, Ma. Not after everything. After he left us.
I know, honey, I could just hear the pain and panic in his voice. It's been a long time, but I know him.
I sigh, dragging in a ragged breath. The last thing I expected when I called her was to hear this. My chest feels tight with anxiousness. Can you send me his number in a text? I'll try. Once. Thanks, Ma.
I love you, honey, she says softly. Never forget that.
Right now, I wish I was with her. I can't imagine what it feels like for her, speaking to him for the first time since he left us. I'm sure her old wounds have broken open, just as they have for me. We end the call, and a few seconds later, my phone chimes with a number. The number is daunting. It's big and bold, causing anger, familiar and sharp, to swirl deep in my gut, but I push it aside. I hit the digits and wait for the phone to ring. Hello. A deep baritone comes through the speaker, the same one I remember from my childhood, even though so many times I wish I could have forgotten it. Fuck. It hits me straight in the chest. I clear my throat that's clogged with emotion. Pain, sadness, regret.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?